you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Conceive, believe, achieve. Shut the f*** up.
This is Believe You Me on the Gas Digital Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Thursday evening, or maybe it's Friday morning. Wherever you are in the world, we hope you are well. Thank you for tuning in to the Believe You Me podcast, second episode this week. Myself and Mike Harrington giving you all the big news in MMA and not in MMA and whatever else random stuff we talk about, maybe some of your questions, etc. But still, Harrington, how are you, my friend?
I mean, I've been better. Just had to bike my way over here through traffic and the high winds and dodging cars. But you know what? Like, I made it for the Believe in Me podcast. So I'm pretty happy about that.
No, very good. Very good. You know who's not happy this morning?
Anyone who took a plane with a certain former world champion.
Exactly. That dickhead that got beat up by Mike Tyson last night. My God. So I wake up this morning. I'm laying in bed. I'm having my morning coffee. One of multiple morning coffees that I have every morning. Do you drink a lot of coffee, Harrington?
I'm already on my third cup for the day.
Yeah, I think I'm on my fourth coffee.
Four for me.
Fourth coffee, one tea. I drink far, far, far too much. But still, anyway, and I'm having my coffee and I see on the news, Mike Tyson on a JetBlue flight last night beats the crap out of some, I want to say, rather annoying person. And here it is. Let's take a look at this. I mean, come on, Mike Tyson.
This is George talking to Mike Tyson, bro. This shit crazy, bro. Mike Tyson.
See, first of all, the guy's asking for it. The guy's fucking asking for it. Mike Tyson's sitting there by the looks of it. And I'm not defending Mike. You know what I mean? But, you know, because he did fuck up. He did snap. He did lose his temper. And we'll get to that in a minute. But Mike Tyson's sitting there. He's in business class. Know how to behave. Do you know what I mean? When you fly in business class, you might see famous people. You might see some celebrities. You can't just hound them. Again, I'm not pardoning Mike or his behavior, but still, the guy, to me, he looked clearly drunk and was being very, very annoying. Would you agree?
Yeah. And I mean, I would go a step further to say I 100% defend Mike Tyson doing this, right? Like any normal human being knows you don't fuck with Mike Tyson. I know that. You know that. Like anybody who's been alive before, you know, 2005 should 1000% know that.
Yeah, man. I watched this footage and I didn't see anything. Mike Tyson's just sitting there the whole time. He never hits the guy now.
Yeah. You maybe play the second tape then, Brian, because that's gonna argue or completely disagree with what you say. But here we are. Let's take another look. So there's Tyson.
Gonna give us some shrooms. Also, you don't know how to act. Tyson looking out, man. This shit crazy as
f. He should have never gave you his money.
Peasants. They're peasants.
You're gonna say about that about Tyson? Okay.
Oh, no, here we go.
Hey, Mike, come on. Let's go stop that.
Well,
JetBlue, Matt Flight. The boy just got beat up by Mike Tyson. Turn that way.
Well, what do you expect? Sitting there with a stupid look on his face. You play stupid games. You win stupid prizes. You go up and hassle Mike Tyson. Do you know what I mean? What do you think is going to happen? Now, we can't condone this. I don't condone it. Mike Tyson should have known better. Mike Tyson is one of the scariest men on the planet. Mike Tyson was a former and the youngest ever boxing heavyweight champion of the world. You got to control your fists. Certainly when you're acting like your father Zen all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm with him. There's plenty of people that I've wanted to slap up. Plenty of people. But you just can't do it these days, unfortunately.
Well, but it's like, all right. So like this does show kind of the progress of Tyson, right? If this was Tyson in the 90s, by just like the guy wouldn't have even had to have done anything. He could have sneezed and Tyson might have turned around and hit him. So for this, for Tyson to be sitting there while this guy is egging him on for what I'm assuming is a, you know, sizable portion of this flight. Right. And you can see like the guy sees he's being filmed and he starts playing it up for the camera. And that's when Tyson's like, all right, like I'm not letting you get social media clout off of clowning Mike Tyson. Bomb, bomb, bomb.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, that's exactly what was going on. But it wasn't multiple hours of the flight. If what I read is correct, Tyson left the plane before he even took off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He took off. So he's on the plane. Obviously, this asshole's come up. He's bothering him. He's flipped. He's lost his temper. Because listen, I'm a massive fan of Mike Tyson. I'm not going to sit here. This guy was a little shit, fucking whatever. He's got a little scratch on him. He'll survive. No one's going to die. No one's going to be injured. And maybe he'll learn his lesson. I just hope that Tyson doesn't face any big backlash or legal ramifications or even a lawsuit. Look at him. What a sorry asshole.
That dude's getting paid, sorry to say.
Yeah, well, apparently he got off the plane as well. From what I saw from, I think it was TMZ or the Daily Mail, both of which just shitty fucking media outlets. But yeah, they said that he got off, Tyson got off, and, you know, because obviously think about that. You're Mike Tyson. You're sitting in business class. It's all la-di-da. They're hanging out the fucking champagne. You lose your shit. Boom, 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 boom. You can't just sit there and go, yes, sir, I'll get the... I'll take a glass of champagne, please. It's like, do you know what it actually reminds me of? Is when, remember I had that lawsuit, that guy in the gym?
Oh, yeah.
He removed some of my weights and the weights hit the floor and it banged. And I asked him, I said, what the fuck, did you take a plate off? And he says, yeah. And he gets right in my face and he screws his face up and he starts making threats. He did. He started making threats and all kinds of stuff. And I got set up for a lawsuit and I lost my temper, right? I didn't hit him or anything like that, but I just grabbed hold of him. Fucking shit. And anyway, as soon as I grabbed him, he started screaming, oh, he's trying to choke me out. There was no one trying to choke him out. Do you know what I mean? And then I found out from someone else that one of his friends works for this guy that was at my son's school. And he said, hey, let's go fuck with Bisping. So I fell into their trap. However, the point I'm making is where it falls into something similar is that when I was done, when I lost my temper, I attempted to go back to lifting weights. Do you know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, no, this ain't going to work. I got to leave. So I got up and got out of there. And that's what Mike Tyson did by the sounds of it. He's like, yeah, I can't do a Mike Tyson accent, but I wish I could. But yeah, he's thought, fuck this. I got to get off this plane. I got to get out of here.
I'm going to go fly Southwest.
Yeah, there you go. That wasn't bad. Yeah. And then apparently the guy's gone to the cops as well.
Ugh. But that's like, all right, so the difference between your situation and Mike's situation here is that the entire thing is being filmed, and it's very clear that this guy is provoking him. So it's like, at what point in a rational society where you can't just go around and hit people at your own leisure, is something like that acceptable? You know what I mean? Like, how far can you push a man?
It's not acceptable, sadly. It's just not. It's not. You know, I had a couple of skirmishes with the law when I was a kid. Nothing serious, just a couple of scraps growing up. And because I'd done martial arts, actually, when it got to sentencing, you know, we're talking 1995, by the way. You know, I was 16 years old, just got into a little bar fight. But they said, because of my martial arts training, I perceive threats of violence in a different way. You know what I mean? And I don't know if a judge would say that to Mike Tyson, but one would assume that he didn't feel a threat of violence from that little pipsqueak, that little sorry-ass looking asshole. Listen, I'm not justifying Mike Tyson, but, you know, the guy, learn a lesson. Learn a lesson. There you go.
I still don't know what you guys are talking about. I didn't see not one thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Fuck that guy. I hope he gets nothing out of him. And I hope that Mike just learns his lesson a little bit. Do you think he will, though? I mean, what is he now, 53 years old? He's still getting on like that? God bless him.
Again, the fact that he did not turn around as soon as this guy opened his mouth and start punching him tells me that Tyson has learned, he has grown. And, you know, I don't see you being much calmer than that, right? Like, well, what is he going to do? Get up and be like, go to the flight attendant and be like, I need to move my seat on this full plane because this guy's being a jerk off. It's like, I can handle this myself, you know?
The guy didn't even have, like, welts. He just, like... Tyson just kind of cut him up a little bit with some short hooks, you know?
Yeah, that looked like fingernails, that, you know, from the punches or whatever. Maybe a fingernail scratched him or whatever. He's fine.
He just slapped him.
Yeah. No, he's totally fine. He's totally fine. But still, you know what I mean? Listen, don't do it on a plane. Don't do it when the cell phone's around. You know what I mean? When could you do it? I don't know. Anyway,
probably the only part of the airport that has no cameras would be the gangway, like coming off the plane. You know what I mean? So it's like, if you wait that long, right? And like,
I guarantee there's cameras there. I guarantee there's some little hidden camera. There's cameras everywhere in airports, man.
No, they move.
Telling you.
They're like retractable runways. There's no cameras in them, but they always have security people there. Like standing on the corner. Baggage claim people are right there. Dudes.
Yeah,
you're not
getting
away.
Security guy. All right. So like, hear this out, right? If Tyson puts up with that for a 3-hour long flight and then at the very end, just waits for him in that thing and hits him with like one or two real good ones to the body. What security guard is going to stop
Harrington.
Mike Tyson?
How do you
Harrington,
explain the dead body?
Harrington, you're talking about assault, okay? Just because it's Mike Tyson, airport staff are not going to turn a blind eye. But you're right, body shots are always good. Body shots are good. I remember this guy, I'm going to name him as well, Darren Hazelwood from Clitheroe. When I was a kid, I was always getting into fights and stuff. And I found out that... These guys from Clitheroe, they all had a meeting in a pub, what they were going to do about me, and they were going to get me. They were going to gang up on me and jump me and beat me up and all the rest of it. And I heard about it. I was like, oh, really interesting. And it was kind of, as you say, like a runway. You walk through a door and there's like a little hallway before you go into the toilets, you know? And I'm like, Darren, what the fuck, man? I've heard you've been sitting around fucking, you've all been planning how you're going to get me, you're all going to jump me, you're all going to beat me up. So, boom, gave him, I said, I'm sorry, I've got to do this. I don't want to do this, but boom, just gave him a little body shot. I'm like, you little fucking prick. I can't have you doing that. But that was a long time ago. That was a form of life.
You're like the Batman of Clitheroe. Like all your enemies had to gather in one place and be like, how are we going to figure this guy out?
I would not say that I'm the Batman of Clitheroe, but I'll take it. I like it. All right, listen, everybody, we're all wasting money every single month. Yes, that's true. Because you subscribe to these little businesses, these little offers, but then you forget about them. They're only a few bucks a month. Maybe they're more, maybe they're a lot, but you do forget about them. And these subscription services make it very, very tricky for you to cancel. But that is where Truebill comes in. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for your subscriptions that you don't need, want, or as I say, maybe you just forgot about. On average, people are saving up to $720 a year with Truebill because companies make subscription hard to cancel. Like I say, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link all your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. Plus, your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. Look, listen, you know the deal. I mean, I signed up to Truebill. I went online and there was so much stuff like services that I'd forgotten about years ago. Little crappy apps. You know, they sign up, little stupid games, $2.99 a month, $5.99 a month, whatever. You do forget about them and it all piles up over the years. Just like Matthew B, who said, in a matter of seconds, I saved $660 for the year on my DirecTV bill. I also saved $120 for the year on my Sirius XM bill. I saved $840 a year on car insurance. Look, don't fall for the subscription scams. They are scams. They take your money and they don't let you cancel. Well, that's all a thing of the past right now with Truebill. Start canceling today. Go to truebill.com/believe. Go right now to truebill.com/believe and it could save you thousands of dollars a year. truebill.com/believe. Okay, where were we? Anyway, I see you put in the notes here a bunch of stuff. We'll go back to some of the absolutely ridiculous stories. They're getting more and more ridiculous by the day. But there is one in the MMA news that I do want to talk about. Well, first of all, Marvin Vettori's lost his opponent against Robert Whittaker at UFC's 275 in Singapore. That is a shame. I was very much looking forward to that fight. I don't think Whittaker's given us an actual reason, right?
No, he did. He posted on Instagram saying that he sustained an injury early in his camp and he was like just trying to work through it and get through the camp. And I guess it's just gotten to the point now where it's like, nah, he's compromised. There's no way he can take this fight anymore.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. He didn't give a fucking answer. I know there's an injury. I know there's an injury, but he didn't go into details what that injury is.
Yeah, no, I didn't hear what it was. I just do find it that was interesting to me, though, like that mentality of like, all right, I've sustained something. I know I'm dealing with this. Let's give it the time in training camp to work through this. Like, I don't hear guys talking about that very much, like trying very hard to like make it through a camp.
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it goes. Often you have a little injury and it's not too bad, you know, and you think, I'll be okay. But then training camps are grueling. They're hard to get through, you know what I mean? And that little injury, you know, God knows what it is. I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe it's a rib. Maybe it's a sprained ankle. Maybe who knows what the fuck it is. It could be a million things. But when you're trying to get through a training camp, you're doing the opposite of resting. You know what I mean? So that's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And then eventually a doctor says, you need to take a month off. So obviously now he's going to pull out, which is a shame because I thought that was a sensational fight, Vittori and Robert Whittaker. However, I'm kind of glad for both of them that they don't have to fight one another, you know, because it's like, that's a really hard fight for both men. And what did he get out of it? They've both just been beaten off, is it? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, don't get me wrong. In terms of a fan-pleasing matchup, absolutely sensational. I love watching Marvin fight. I love watching Robert fight. Marvin's just such a goddamn beast. He really is. I mean, that fight against Paulo Costa, he'll forever have my respect. And Robert Whittaker, same thing. Robert Whittaker, you know, just came up a little bit short against Izzy. Point I'm making is, it's a great fight for the fans, but for either one of them, it's like, this is a really tough fight. And what do we get? We've just lost to the guy that just lost to Izzy. Do you know what I'm saying? So, you never know. Maybe for those guys, everything happens for a reason. Is there any word of whether or not Marvin Vettori is going to stay on the card with a new opponent?
Yeah, so he's actually been calling for it. He called for the Smash Bros. He said he said he's down to fight both of them in the same night, back to back, which just sounds like a little bit of braggadocio. And then Paulo Costa jumped on that and is like, all right, this guy just, you know, going off and being a jerk off. Like, I'm 100% ready. I can make 185 and I'll be ready for that fight if you want to give me the rematch. So
yeah. No, I am listening to you always, Harrington. I am always on the edge of my seat, glued. Oh.
That's why you're so mad.
I'm glued to what you're saying, but here's Darren Till. Now, as we know, on Monday, the Smash Bros, they were supposed to join us for a podcast, but they never show. Darren Till just text me.
Should I email him?
No, it's okay. They're saying Monday. Let's do next week so we can get Hamza on as well. All right, I'm going to leave him. Lads, well, I'm on the fucking podcast now, mate. I'm a fucking live. All right. So you've made a dick out of me a few times, Darren, right? You're fucking live. This is on the podcast. Next week, you and Hamzat are fucking joining. Are you dead to us? All right, mate. Give us a bell, Darren. Right, there we go. It's locked in. There it is.
Darren Leon Edwards Till.
Exactly. No. So Marvin Vettori versus Darren. He's calling for Darren at 185.
He said he would fight Darren. And then he also, I mean, Hamzat has a couple fights in the UFC at 185. So I think he's open to fighting either one of those men at UFC 275. As well as, Paulo Costa threw his name in there to be like, let's go, let's fight. So.
Yeah, but I don't think that Darren's going to be fighting anytime soon, you know, just simply because of his knee. Because I think there was talk of him potentially fighting pretty soon and some people that I know. And we'll find out next week when we speak to Darren. But I think right now he doesn't want to rush back. I mean, if you're Darren, you don't want to do that. You know, he tore his MCL or ACL partially. He had some stem cells and treatment and stuff like that. So, you know, take his time. And then Hamza isn't going to fight at 185 either because, you know, he's focusing on 170. He's almost right there. Almost right there. Right. What was in the notes then, Harrington? Let's have a look.
Well, I mean, if you want to talk about being right there, somebody come out with, do you want to talk about this? Do you even want to give it credence? The step aside money being introduced to the UFC in one of the most ludicrous proposals I've ever heard in my life?
No, I don't want to talk about it, but you've now began to talk about it. I said before the show, Harrington, it's nonsense, but go ahead. We can't do that to the believers. You can't tease something. And it's like going, hey, I've heard something really good, but I can't tell you. You're like, well, don't fucking say anything then. So you're talking about Leon Edwards and Chael Sonnen. What's going on?
Right. So Chael Sonnen said that he had heard a rumor that the UFC was offering Leon Edwards both his show and his win money to not show up for the fight against Kamaru Usman, to step aside and allow Khamzat Chimaev to step in for that championship fight. Now, Kamaru Usman himself did say earlier this week, it's hard to deny Usman. He got the win against Gilbert Burns, who is number two. He is right there for a title shot. So
we do need to think about something in this. Chael Sonnen is undefeated and has never lost a round.
Correct. Chael Sonnen's out of his mind. Chael Sonnen is out of his mind. And Leon Edwards came out and what did he say? He said, that's absolute bullshit. He said, it's absolute bullshit. Something like that, right? Yeah, because I'm hearing other things. I mean, listen, Leon's come out and say that. I mean, listen, Chael's doing his YouTube channel. God bless him. He's very good. He does a lot of videos every day. I do a YouTube channel. I try to do a video every day. Sometimes I try and do two videos a day. I don't know how Chael does 5, 6, 7 videos a day. You know what I mean? Sometimes there's just not that amount of stuff to talk about. And I'm not saying that Chael just makes things up for the sake of a video, but it sounds like Chael might be just be making things up for the sake of a fucking video. I don't think he does that, but still, because Leon came out and said, what the fuck are you talking about, correct?
Yeah. So apparently, you know, judging from Leon's response, it seems like the UFC has not contacted him about any such offer to take hundreds of thousands of dollars to just stay home and not fight Kamaru Usman. So, you know, it seems like Leon is still 100%, you know, locked in on a title shot against Kamaru Usman here, which is exciting.
Yeah, no, it is exciting. Leon absolutely deserves it. He's got a very good chance of being the next British champion. And anyway, I've heard, I have sources. I work for the UFC. I am not saying anything, but I believe what Dana told me. Dana told me in London that Leon's fighting for the belt next, and I'm hearing things. I'm hearing that that might happen soon. I'm also hearing other things about the card as well because people are texting me. But I'm saying nothing right now, just like I said before. But talking of British people, talking of fighters, Dan Hardy and Diego Sanchez. I mean, for fuck's sake. Listen, Dan, if you're going to fight, just fucking fight. Stop talking about it. No offense to the guy. Do you know what I mean? Listen, Dan had a great career back in the day, but he hasn't fought since 2012. But he has talked about coming back consistently for the last 10 years. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Diego Sanchez, is this a kickboxing fight, I believe?
No, it's just regular boxing, exhibition boxing match.
Why? That's crazy. Oh, hold on. All right, sorry about that, guys. My sincere apologies. So, Dan Hardy, Diego Sanchez, pure boxing match. I'm going to say right now, it's going to favor Dan Hardy. It's going to favor Dan. Diego's tough as fuck, man. Diego's been around forever. Diego's still fighting, doing bare knuckle, fighting God knows how many fights. Dan, whilst he hasn't been active, and you might say, oh, he's out of shape and all the rest of it, he's one of those guys, he's not a drinker, he still works out, he still trains, he still coaches, and he hasn't had any impact to the head for the last 10 years. So it's a very, very good matchup for Dan Hardy, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, it's an eight-round exhibition bash going to be taking place in Manchester. Ricky Hatton, top of the card. So, you know, it's like it's a pretty fun event, and certainly one where, you know, I mean, Dan Hardy's been talking for you know, like you said, almost a decade now about making that comeback against the perfect opponent. And I mean, can you think of a more perfect opponent than Diego Sanchez in his boxing debut?
It's a perfect opponent for Dan Hardy. Let's just put it like that. My God. You know what? I think I got asked to commentate this event a little while ago. I did. Yeah, I got an email through. So you never know. Maybe I'll try and make that happen. I'm UFC first, though. But anyway, you know, I'm a bit of a throwback. I see Dan Hardy back in there. You know, we were talking a moment ago about this is a Smash Bros, and they said they're going to come on next week. I see you got the video of it here, number 7. This was hilarious. People have probably seen it. Joaquin Buckley. He's a confident one, Joaquin Buckley. So he walks up and he's giving Darren Till, yo, we got to fight. You know, all friendly enough. But what the funniest thing was when it was done, Hamza goes, who's that guy? And Darren Till's like, I don't fucking know. Play the video because it is hilarious. But then afterwards, did you see the second part? Hamza said, you want to be a gangster? I'll fucking kill you.
No.
Yeah, I saw that this morning. So I saw this a couple of days ago. There's a second part where he goes after him, which is, yeah, you want to be a gangster? I'll fucking kill you, bro. Let's fight right now.
Get a fight, bro. Yeah. It's been a minute, man. You know what I'm saying? He at 170 right now. Yeah. You know, I can't worry about him. But you, though, I need you. You know what I'm saying? No, bro, don't say it, though. You be on camera. Record, you better be recording.
You want to fight in July?
July? Let's fight in July.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. London?
Yeah, London.
Don't say that.
You going to be ready?
I'm being ready.
Okay.
Let's get money, bro. All right. Appreciate it.
Who is that guy?
Who is that guy?
Fight, bro. It's been a minute.
I love Hamza. Who is that guy? It's like, it's literally, who the fuck is that guy? But,
but that's interesting, though. Darren's the one who threw out the July date.
Well, I'm here in July in London. That's what they said, July in London, didn't they? I'm here in July in London as well. Oh, that'd be great. Back to the UK again. Nice.
But I mean, that to me is one of those things you were just saying. You're not sure if you're going to see Darren fight anytime soon. If he is telling guys who are calling him out, I'm good for July in London, that tells me Darren Till might be making, might be getting back into camp pretty damn soon. And that is exciting news to me.
Well, it's always, Darren's a very exciting fighter. And we'll ask him about it next week. We'll figure out what he's going to be doing. But a touching moment, it's all Hamza in these notes, a touching moment between Hamza and Gilbert Burns backstage after the fight. I'm assuming it's going to be them hugging and giving respect and all the rest of it. We see this every time, Harrington. It's not news, but go on. What is it?
Okay. Well, I mean, you know, in a display of absolute sportsmanship, Hamza Chimaev talked to Gilbert Burns, who was actually, I think he was on the gurney, like about to be taken into the ambulance to, you know, the hospital after their fight. And yeah, Hamza just showing respect to, you know, the former title challenger in Gilbert Burns, which I thought was, you know, pretty nice. Sorry, I can see on my camera that Brian is not at his seat and cannot pull this video up. So I am stalling.
It's quite all right. It's quite all right. All right. So listen, Brian's not here. Luke Rockhold, Chizo Vera, they're very good friends. They train down at the Ruka gym. I'll be going down there tomorrow. Haven't been in for a while. So I'm going to go, you know, I've been hitting the bag. I've been getting ready for Jake Paul. by the way, did you see that video that I put out from the commission? The commission came out and said, yeah, we'll license it. And then now Jake Paul comes back and he says, show me you're not under contract with the UFC and we'll fight where I say. I'm like, hold on a minute. First of all, it was, show me you can get licensed. Now it's show me you're not under contract. I tweeted, I said, Jake, I wouldn't give you the steam of my piss. I do not want to fight you. I would not lower myself to fucking doing it. But and what I did hear is that he 100% has been offered a fight with Anderson Silva. That's what I have heard for a fight. And he's not taking that one, is it? So little Jakey, bake it. Step up to the plate, you little pussy.
That's wild. I mean, that is, you know, I mean, for everybody who's talking this, that, and the other, I mean, we've seen Anderson Silva in a boxing ring in the last year, actually knocking people's heads off, you know, and then, you know, with the Tito Ortiz fight, and then getting in there against a former champion in Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And showing a great encounter of himself on the way to a decision victory. So it's like, you know, no wonder Jake Paul is not answering the bell that quickly on that one, but 100% guarantee that offers in the mail is, yeah, that gets my juices flowing. It really does. I would like to see that boxing match.
I would like to see it. I'd like to see Jake Paul fight someone his own size, fight someone his own age, and fight someone who's a boxer. Do you know what I mean? But if he's not going to do any of that stuff, Anderson Silva, I would like to see that. It's amazing what Anderson Silva's done. The career of that man. Listen, we know, you know, what happened in the UFC towards the end. He couldn't put it together and sadly got knocked out against Uriah Hall in his last fight. I think he only won like one of his last six, I think, and that was against Derek Brunson. So it was a bit of a fall from grace, but he still got it, clearly. One punch knockout over Tito Ortiz. You know what I mean? And say what you want about Tito Ortiz. He always had a decent chin. He was never a guy that was getting put to sleep constantly, and Anderson put him away with a clean shot. Anyway, Harrington, I'm just seeing all these non-MMA.
Well, no, we
stories.
Got to there. We got to this by talking about, you know, the boys over at Ruka. And my question for Michael Bisping, is, you know, all your years of training with Jason Perillo down at Ruka, you know, the mental specialist, the guy who can, you know, unlock things in fighters they didn't know they had, find that hidden untapped potential. Did he ever run a drill, anything like what Chito Vera and Luke Rockhold were doing in this video?
We need to see this video. Brian, is he there? Yes, is Brian around? Play. This is bizarre. I mean, I'm going down there tomorrow. I'm having a word with Perillo. I'm like, what the fuck has happened to the gym since I've been away? We used to be down there. It would be push-ups. It would be sprints. It would be rounds of boxing, work in the back, body conditioning, you know, burning, working ourselves to the absolute limit. What is this? Right, there's Chito bouncing on a wobble board. And now, yeah, go, Luke. Look at that.
I mean, impressive footwork from Chito, to be fair.
I got to say, it's actually pretty impressive from both of them. If I tried to do that, it would just be a night. Whether I was Chito or Rockhold, right? If I was Chito, I'd go flying off that board straight away. And if I was Rockhold, I would knock Chito, or, you know, I'd knock him off. It's pretty graceful of Luke Rockhold, to be fair. The man is very, very talented.
He's like a jungle cat on two legs. But I mean, my question is like the Cheeto thing, right? Being on a balance board, letting a 185er go through your legs, it screams like shades of Tony Ferguson kicking a metal rod while he was training on his like ACL break. I mean, this guy's got a fight night against Rob Font coming up, a legitimate, you know, can put him within striking distance of title contention. And he's messing around playing silly games on a boogie board with Luke Rockhold. That seems maybe not worth it.
No. So, you gotta have a bit of fun in games. You gotta keep the, you gotta enjoy what you're doing. So when you're in the gym, that's just them dicking about. They're having a bit of a laugh. Maybe they're cooling down. Maybe they're warming up. I see them playing a lot of tennis down there at Ruka these days. Yeah, because they got the big factory there, and they're always playing tennis. Rockhold's challenged me to go down and beat him in a tennis game. I'm like, I'm not a tennis player, and I have one eye. Right, I have zero depth perception. Playing and catching a ball is damn near impossible for me. Anyway, right. I'm looking at these. What is this? A toddler nearly kidnapped by a monkey in China before a man working nearby saved her. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I was going to set it up a little bit better than that. Ask you if you know you'd ever worried about Lucas being taken away by a wild animal or what the scariest animal, you know, attacking one of your kids would be. But I mean, yeah, this video is actually, I don't know, it's kind of crazy to look at.
Chimpanzee would be one of them. Chimpanzees are dangerous, scary, highly sexed individuals. They are. Chimpanzees are very, very...
Uh-oh. Now I don't want to get dragged out by a chimpanzee. Massive. But yeah, you can see this little girl here. She's off playing by herself and, you know, what seems to be some kind of alleyway. She's trying to get her scooter situated. Here comes a little monkey.
Wow. Oh, my God. Look at it.
That's not a little monkey, dude.
Wow. That is absolutely... Is this in China?
Yeah, this is in China. Yeah. Just comes out of nowhere and drags her off. And it's like, you know, if this guy here wasn't there to save her, who knows what would have happened to that little girl?
Well, I'll tell you what would have happened. That monkey or whatever it was, that baboon or whatever it was, would have bitten its face off. Simple right. as that. It would have bitten its face off in a heartbeat, in an instant. They're vicious, man. They are nasty little things. I was talking about this last week, chimpanzees. And then I was talking to my friend who's a zoologist, MJ. Shout out, MJ. They were telling me about chimps. And that's how I know they're highly sexed. Because she was like, you know, you got to be careful. Got to be careful of those things. And he was with this actor. We had dinner last week and he said he did some, I forget what it was now, some TV show or a commercial and they were in Africa. And there was a chimp in the car and the chimp lad was like humping his leg the whole time. But he just had to look down because if you make eye contact, they see it as a sign of aggression. So he's got a chimp humping his leg and he's just got to look down while driving the car because if you make eye contact, it'll just rip your face off and then anally probe you. And listen, I can think of many worse ways to go. However, having my face ripped off and then anally probed by a chimpanzee is not at the top of my list.
Yeah, that's up there. That's up there as a pretty bad ending. But it's like, I mean, that is, you know, that's so odd to me. Like the amount of like, you're going from being that horny, you're willing to hump whatever to like get a little bit of eye contact. Now it's like, I'm going to kill you. I must kill you while I'm still humping you. Like those things are scary animals.
It's a chimpanzee. They're very, very scared. They're very, very strong as well. All right. So what have we got here? What have we got? What's going on? We got fights this week and we got Amanda Lemos, Jessica Andrade. Jessica Andrade, always fun to watch. I love watching her fight. What was her last fight? Was that against Rose Namajunas? Was that the last time she was out?
No, the Rose fight was her last fight at strawweight. Then she went up, she took on Kaitlyn Chookagian, got the win, got the title fight against Valentina Shevchenko, lost that, and then had a comeback against Cynthia Calvillo, where she got the stoppage win last.
I'm thinking of Calvillo. That's right. Not Rose. Yeah, Namajunas. Yeah, Calvillo. She was great.
Oh yeah.
Was that a second round stoppage or was it the end of the first round?
I will look that up right now.
Calvillo just never showed up for that one.
Mm-mm.
Never show well, or you could say Andrade showed up in a big way. I love watching her fight. I mean, I'll never forget what she did to Rose Namajunas down in Brazil. I mean, she was getting her ass kicked pretty badly there, but then grabbed her, picked her up, slammed her on her head. Pretty impressive and an awesome display of violence for such a little girl. Do you know what I mean? I know that sounds disrespectful. That's not what I'm saying. She's a smaller female, but she is. She's fucking explosive, man. And she's nasty. When she lets it go with her hands, she's a lot of fun to watch. And Lemos, she's no walk in the park either. She'll be a pretty fun fight.
Yeah, I mean, it was crazy to me looking at just the stats on this. Like, combined, they're landing over 10 shots per minute. Neither fighter is very good. You know, neither fighter has particularly strong like defense. So they're absorbing. Oh, no, sorry. They're landing nearly 12 strikes per minute, absorbing nearly 10 strikes per minute. So it's like, you know, the typical like, you know, thought process is, oh, you see two female fighters, you should bet the over 2.5 rounds. It's probably going to the judges. Not with these two, right? There is a ton of finishes on both of their records. And I certainly think this one is going to have a hard time getting through two rounds with the volume that these two throw at.
Yeah. Well, Lemos, what is she? 5-0, I think, since she came to the UFC. 4 of those were stoppages. And then Andrade, she fights a similar way. Yeah, you're right. I doubt this is going to go to the scorecards. 25 minutes as well. You know what I mean? So that's 25 minutes to get a finish. That should be a good one. Do you know what? I'm just looking at the card there. I always perk up and I always get excited when I see Lando Venata's name on a card. Not fucking Macy Barber. You're obsessed with Macy Barber. No, Lando Venata. I love watching Hell that guy fight. Oh, man. He's so... What's his nickname? Groovy. He is groovy. He gets in the groove when he's striking. I love watching him fight. I really do. I'll never forget when he made his UFC debut against Tony Ferguson. And it was a short notice fight. And it was like, who's this guy? And they just, you know, everyone thought it was going to be a walk in the park for Tony Ferguson because it was something like 3 days notice. Oh, yeah. And Venata nearly took his head off in the first few rounds. He is a lot of fun to watch. I think it's fair to say his UFC career hasn't really panned out to what he thought it would be because he's struggled and he's had some losses. But he has fought some incredible competition along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, the, you know, you can say, you know, it hasn't panned out in the sense that he's never gotten anywhere close to a title. But I mean, when's the last time you watched a Lando Venata fight and been bored? You know what I mean?
No, like, exactly. It doesn't happen. He's great to watch. I love watching him fight. I love his style.
I was just going to say 2 draws on his record, right? So it seems like he's the type of fighter who fights to the level of his opponent, which makes it for like an always entertaining fight.
Yeah, of course, your girl's on there. Macy Barber taking on Montana De La Rosa. Lando Venata's opponent, Charles Jourdain. He's a lot of fun as well. So that will be, I think that's going to be fight of the night. Lando Venata, Charles Jourdain, fighting out of Canada. That's a good one. Clay Guida's on there.
That like Leonidas 300 kick that he landed at like the end of the bell for the, like it ended up going to decision. But I mean, talk about an emphatic way to end a decision win, right? With the like, giant kick to the chest, opponent on the ground, standing over him. Like, let's see what the judges think about that one, motherfucker. I love Charles Jourdain. I'm excited for this.
Yeah, no, me too. That's going to be fight of the night for sure, if you ask me. But main event, I'll probably go. I mean, it's a tough one. I'll go with Jessica Andrade, simply because she's been in there with better competition, but she has been around for a while. A lot of ups and downs. Lemo, she's on a turf, 5-5 win streak, 4 stoppages. You never know. Could be a good fight. But I know more about Andrade, so I'll lean towards her, but hey, what do I know? Could be very, very, very wrong. What else is going on in the world, Harrington? What's this about Apple products, Apple iPhones? Because they're pissing me off.
Yeah, dude, this does kind of frustrate pretty much everybody who's bought an iPhone in the last 3 or 4 years. So apparently, you know, Apple says that they stopped including chargers. You know, they stopped including headphones back with like the iPhone 7 or something like that once they took
which
away
is
the
ridiculous.
Headphones. I agree. They then, right, once like iPhone 10 or 11 came out, they stopped including chargers in the boxes, right? Now, Apple has come out and said that it's an environmental saving thing because, you know, 9 times out of 10, if you're buying an iPhone at this point, you already have a charger, so you don't need the new one. So, you know, we're just trying to be good to the environment using up less plastic.
Everybody needs chargers, okay? We have a family of 5. We all have an iPhone. I don't know where the cables go. I don't know where they go. I don't know where the bricks go, the block, the plug. I don't know where the cables go. They get broke. They get lost. Callum takes them. He comes back. He takes them to college. Ellie goes somewhere. She brings it to her friend's house. She leaves. All I know is that I don't unplug my charger and I don't take it anywhere. But a lot of the time when I go to bed at night and I go to plug it in, I'm like, where the fuck is the charger? So Apple, you are full of shit. Everybody needs the charger. You're just trying to increase your profit margins. Come on, man. You're paying what is it for an iPhone these days? $1,200, $1,300, $1,400 for a top of the line. It's a lot of money. Throw a charger in there, you cheap bastards.
Well, I mean, add to that, some reports are stating that the move, right, since they've taken out headphones and chargers combined over the last like 8 years or so, has made Apple billions of dollars in profit, right? Like it's added billions of dollars to their final, you know, their bottom line. So
Brian,
go on.
No, I was gonna say, Brian, just Google how many iPhones were sold last year, if you don't mind. Just look that up. Go on, Brian. Sorry, Harrington, you were saying. Yeah.
I mean, what is clearly a cost-cutting measure is being, you know, branded as like good for the environment, and the people of Brazil are not feeling it, right? They are not okay with it. One guy actually took Apple to court, you know, and was like, hey, this is screwy. You guys like are just trying to screw over, you know, people who are spending tons of money to buy your phones. And he sued them. A Brazilian judge awarded the plaintiff in the case, the guy who was suing Apple, $1,000 because there was no iPhone charger in his box. And, you know, I kind of got to side with that guy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, according to Brian here, over 84 million iPhones sold last year alone. Now, when I buy a charger, it's probably somewhere around the $10. Yeah, I mean, that's 800. And now, of course, they're not paying wholesale price, but whatever. Call it $5. Call it $5 with the plug and the charger and the headphones. You know, to them, let's say $5. That's probably way too much as well. $10 would be 840, so $420 million.
$420, yeah. Bro.
Yeah, but they're doing it for the environment. Yeah, of course you are, Apple. Of course you are. That pisses me off because it used to be when they changed the headphone and then they changed the plug. You know what I mean? You know, and then you got the little dongle for a while, didn't you? Did you used to get a dongle with it? I think you did.
Yeah, I feel like the dongle came with it. Instead, like that was the move. They got rid of the headphones, but they threw in the dongle.
Yeah, but now there's no dongle.
Nope. You got to buy that.
There's no dangle. There's no goddamn fucking dongle. Jesus Christ, Bill Gates. Is it Bill Gates?
No, that's
who's the one that died?
Steve Jobs.
Steve Jobs. There we go. Come on, Steve. Steve's rolling in his grave right now.
I genuinely do think he is, right? You know, you think about like Tim Cook took over the company once, you know, Steve Jobs passed away. And since then, I can't name a single person who's liked an innovation that Apple has made. So, you know, maybe the genius.
I don't know. The new camera's pretty amazing. Let's be honest.
Okay. Fair enough.
Do you have the iPhone, whatever this is, 14 or something?
No, I got a hand-me-down iPhone 10. I'm consistently 5-6 years behind with my iPhone technology. But I mean, realistically, the cameras, you know, not to be like a little tech nerd, but I think, you know, the cameras are probably better. Bless you.
Woo!
Like, woo!
Go on.
I'm just saying, the iPhone Pro Max or whatever camera is like just now catching up to where the Samsung was like 2 years ago.
Oh, God. Here we go. All I know is that the iPhone 14 Pro Max thingy bob, the quality of the videos and the pictures is unbelievable. I know when iPhones first came around, that was always the issue with them. A lot of people said the picture quality, the cameras aren't very good. You know, the resolution is not very high. And they were crap, but they've definitely caught up. But still, whatever. Who cares? What do I know? I'm not a tech guru. I'm not a tech wizard. All right, real quick, I just want to talk to you about Shopify, okay? Listen, if you run a business, you need to be online. If you're making something, selling something, offering some kind of service, as I say, you want to be online. You're not, you know, this is the year 2022. There's billions of people in the world. It is time to reach them. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Plus, you can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. More than a store, Shopify grows with you. Look, listen. You want to be online. You want to shop, right? You want an e-commerce platform. But it can be hard. It can be costly. It can be expensive and be confusing. Shopify.com makes it all easy and it makes it cheap. Shopify instantly lets you accept all major payment methods, and it is more than a store. Connect with your customers, drive sales, manage your day-to-day. Shopify has thousands of integrations and third-party apps also, from on-demand printing to accounting to advanced chatbots and beyond. Listen, give this a try. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/believe, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. As I say, grow your business today. Go to shopify.com/believe right now. Shopify.com/believe for a free 14-day trial. Jan Blachowicz, his car was broken into, Harrington. Give us a bit of color, give us a bit of background. You're doing more talking on this than me. I'm a guest on the fucking Mike Harrington podcast. I'm a guest on the Anthony Smith podcast. My God, I'm going to take my toys and go home. Tell me the story.
Perish the thought.
Jan to be Blachowicz, fair, Mike, you are already home.
Well, yeah. I am home.
So Jan Blachowicz came out and said that the, in the lead up to his last fight, his car was broken into and stolen. Right now, that car contained a bunch of equipment that he needed to be able to do a high altitude camp in the mountains. So, as a result of his car being stolen, he had to spend some time in the police station going over, giving reports and talking to police that he could have spent in training. And while he's not making excuses, he just wanted to let the guy who stole his car know just how much that affected him in his last training camp.
Yeah. I mean, you get your car. I sympathize with Jan. Of course I do. You know, I'm not taking the car thief side. That's for sure. But you can't start. You know what? I had my car stolen in this training camp and I had to spend 2 hours in the police station. You know what I mean? Can't imagine it was there too long. Now, the stolen equipment that he needed for the high altitude camp. What are we talking here? Thermal socks, ear warmers, you know, a pair of hiking boots. Do you know what I mean? Come on, you're the former light heavyweight champion of the world. Go buy some more. Come on, Jan. Goddamn. Well,
I'm assuming like O2 trainers or something to be able to help you breathe at that. You know, knowing Jan, you probably need like the climbing gear to scale a mountain to get to the training camp because it's not like he's going to do anything easy, but. You know, I couldn't. I genuinely think, you know, I would have an issue with that, right? If I'm training for a world title fight against Glover Teixeira and I got to deal with my fucking car getting stolen, like that's kind of insult to injury.
No, right? I know. No, it's a pain in the ass. When is that? That's in Singapore as well, right? UFC 275.
Oh, yeah. That's the main event. Glover versus Yuri.
Yeah. That's a stacked card. And then who else has got on it? It's got Rose. It's got Zhang and Jan Jacek. It's got, there was a few other big fights. I think we talked about this the other day, but. It's a stacked card so far from what I've seen. Oh, that's right. It was supposed to be Whittaker versus Vittori. Oh, well.
Okay. Oh, it looks like, hold on. This might be unconfirmed. I don't know if this is true, but according to Wikipedia, Valentina Shevchenko versus Talia Santos.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That is on there as well. Yeah. Yeah. So two title fights and a stacked undercard as well. I can't wait for that one. Really? You ever been to Singapore?
I have not. I have never been to Asia.
Never been to Asia. I recommend it sometime. Yep. Do like Thailand. Thailand's fucking awesome. Never been to Singapore, though. Looking forward to going. Did we talk about this with my dad the other day? I think we did.
Yes. We did. Your dad isn't going to be bringing his friend. So,
I haven't told him yet. I'm going to tell him that he can't come now.
Does he not listen to the podcast?
Yeah, he does. Exactly. I'm going to call him and say, Dad, never mind. If you want to come, you can come. Who am I to say? You can't fucking come. Jesus Christ.
Tell him, but through your discussion with Anthony Smith. And now you need to smooth it over with a phone call.
No. I'm just trying to look here. I mean, why? I'm just looking at the notes here, guys. Harrington has, in an effort to get Starbucks to drop the surcharge for vegan milk options, PETA activists have taken to super gluing themselves to store counters. Oh, my God. These people. I mean, listen, I'm all for animal rights and all the rest of it, and all that jazz. But these guys do take it a bit far, don't they? They do go a little bit crazy. Tell me more.
So essentially, Starbucks, they offer, oat milk, almond milk, coconut milk, you name it.
Milk is amazing.
I kind of like oat milk.
Do you drink oat milk?
Yeah, I tried it in
hot?
Yeah. It's like creamy. A hot latte with oat milk is super creamy and delicious. I tried a nice latte with oat milk the other day. It felt like I was drinking paint. I didn't like it.
My wife's chocolate chip cookies and a cold glass of oat milk. Oh, God. Yeah? Now you're talking. Oh, God. Oat milk. It's creamy. It's creamier than regular milk.
It is.
And it's made of oats, which is wild, right? Anyway, go on. So what are these dickheads doing?
So apparently, the Starbucks will sell you these alternative milks that don't involve, getting a cow milk. But there is a surcharge for them. Some of them are 25 cents up to, 75 cents for different drinks or different sizes, whatever the case may be. And the vegans over at PETA are done with it, right? They're like, we want these options to be the same price and the same, you know, have the same impact to a consumer's wallet as, you know, getting milk from a cow, which you guys are giving away at no extra fee. So in an effort to get their attention, PETA members are going through and super gluing themselves to the counter. So Howard Schultz will have to listen to them.
Well, here's the thing. Cows have teats and it's really easy to get the milk out of them. If they could get oats to grow teats to get the milk out of it, I'm sure it would go down in price.
That's actually a really good point, Brian. You know what I mean? Because I'm assuming there's, you know, a little bit more to, I mean, how do you milk? I'm just thinking of what's that movie? Meet the Fockers. Meet the Parents. You know what I mean? How do you milk?
Greg?
Milk a little fucking thing. You want to milk me? How do you milk a fucking oat? How do you get oat milk? Do you know what I mean? How do you get milk out of oats? Rebecca, how do you get milk out of oats?
So I'm pretty sure I remember arguing with Ralph Sutton, co-owner of Gas Digital Network, about this. And I thought in my brain that you would just take almonds and like crush them as like hard as you could. And that the juice that came out would be almond milk. But no, it's I'm pretty sure it's just sat in water for quite some time.
It's a chemistry experiment.
Brian says here, how is oat milk made? Commercial oat milk is made by combining oats with water before milling the mixture into a fine consistency. Enzymes are added to break down the oat starch. Then the bran solids are separated out, leaving behind the liquid base. Well, that makes total sense to me. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to make some. What was the surcharge at Starbucks that they're making such a big deal of? Probably 5 cents?
I mean, it's between a quarter or sometimes 75 cents for other things. But I mean, you know, over the course of a year, I could see if you're getting that latte every single day, that shit does add up.
Hey,
make it yourself.
If you can't afford it, don't go to Starbucks. Is life that bad that you're going to fucking... Is that the least thing? Is that the biggest thing you've got to worry about in life? That there's a surcharge for oat milk at Starbucks. So therefore, I'm going to super glue myself to the store. I mean, what in the world? I mean, could you imagine if these people had some real problems? You know what I mean?
Sure. But I mean, I think the bigger message that they're trying to get across, right, is that in PETA's, you know, world, nobody would be drinking milk from cows because it's unethical to get milk from cows. So having these options available, but making them charge more, people are less likely to spring for the 75 cents to get to try the oat milk.
Harrington, I fully get that. I understand what you're saying. I understand what the concept is. I understand why they're protesting. I'm just saying they need to fucking check themselves. They need to get a fucking grip. Okay. Real milk is mass produced. I'm sure oat milk is, and all these other types of milk are these days as well, but not as mass produced as, you know, as real milk is. You know what I mean? So therefore, less supply, less demand, higher charge to produce. Just get over it. Choose your battles in life, is what I would say. Don't go and super glue yourself to a fucking Starbucks who you're going to pay 10 pence. Guess what? You don't need to have the oat milk. If you cannot afford that milk, rather than super gluing yourself to the store, how about you just don't order the fucking milk? How about you have your coffee like a real man, black?
And then what's the environmental impact of super glue? Did they ever think of that?
The horses that they're killing to make that fucking glue. Do you know what I mean? Ooh, see?
Yeah. Yeah. And if it's vegan super glue, it's not going to be as strong. We all know that.
No. Fucking one good gust of wind, they're going to get blown off. No, it's ridiculous. I mean, listen, I'm all for animal rights and all the rest of it. In fact, you know, talking about this, it reminds me of that speech by Joaquin Phoenix at the Oscars. Remember that a few years ago? Did you see that? Yeah. It's ridiculous talking about. And we did talk about this at the time. You know, he's accepting his Oscar. Well done. And then he's in downtown LA or some part of Los Angeles. Just a couple of miles away, there's Sixth Street, Skid Row. Literally thousands of human beings, homeless, mental illness, drug addiction, rape. God knows what kind of shit is going on Skid Row. And he's taking to the stand and talking about the poor cows that are having their milk taken away. What about the human fucking beings that are being left to rot in the cesspit? How about that? How about you get your fucking priorities in order? Anyway, whatever. All right, well, listen, let's. We got any questions, Brian? Sadly, we just got a quick, short one today. Please send your questions into bympod@gmail.com. Thought we'd squeeze in. Thought we'd give you a fun little extra hour to sit and, you know, pass that drive at work. If you're working in a factory, something to listen to. Who knows? Maybe you're in a car. Maybe you sit in your front room, put it on, and just sit there with nothing better to do and listen to us. I don't recommend it. But if you do that, we appreciate you. Leave 5 stars. Tell your friends. Subscribe. Ring the bell. All that good stuff. Harrington.
And if you want to catch over 300 episodes you can't find anywhere else, ad-free and always uncensored, head to gasdigitalnetwork.com. Use the promo code BYM. Get yourself a 7-day free trial.
Yes. Okay. Questions. Brian, what do we have? I do believe our old friend Brian Singer has been in touch.
Dallas Singer. Brian Singer is the guy who gets in trouble.
And don't know who time. Brian Singer is. Oh, go on, Dallas.
He's a director. You know who he is. Well, you know who he is.
Do I? I have no idea who Brian Singer is. No, but
play along. You fucking get parts out of it.
Oh, yeah. No, Brian Singer. I fucking love that guy. I love his artistic integrity. I love the shots that he creates. You know what I mean? The graininess. Anyway, go on. What's the
hey, what's up, guys? The graininess. Dallas from New York. Got something quick for Mike. You've been a star with the UFC. You're now commentator, analyst extraordinaire. You've pretty much traveled all over the world with the UFC. We've heard your stories about almost getting killed in South Africa, spending time in China with the Bispings, the reconciliation with Jorge Masvidal. Let us know a story that you haven't told us, something crazy that's happened while touring, while traveling with the UFC, I should say. Let us know something wild. Brian, I got you to TiVo. Gutted to hear Jan Bisping won't be going to Singapore. You need a new travel companion. I just got my new passport. I'm ready to go. I'll quit my job. Whatever. I'm down to go. I'll hang out with your dad for a week. Let me know. Later, guys.
Oh, that is 2 minutes. Yeah, so that is hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. I'm supposed to be on another Zoom right now. I'll have to make this quick. A story. I mean, I've sat here for twice a week for pretty much the last 6 or 7 years telling a lot of stories. I think I'm kind of extinguished at this point. But there is some, listen, the reality is there's a lot of stories, but they're not fit for the airwaves. Dallas Singer, we appreciate you. Let me see.
If you want to hear them, myticketsco.com.
Oh, myticket.co.uk. Tales from the Octagon. We're coming back, baby. All around Sweden, Denmark, Amsterdam, Dublin, Manchester, Leeds, Newcastle, London. 17 dates. Go to myticket.co.uk and Australia and New Zealand as well in October and November this year. Dallas Singer, question for you. A story for you. Can't think of one. I really can't. Have you got one, Brian? A Hamilton, you got a story?
Just any story to tell? I haven't been on the road with the UFC. I don't think this is applicable to me at all. I could tell 8 million stories from my life, but nobody would like to hear them.
There's many stories I can tell, but when you're on the road with the UFC, you know what I mean? You're on the road. Not everything's for the podcast, sadly. But anyway, I've got to jump off because I just got a text. I'm supposed to be on another Zoom. I'm behind schedule here. Much love, guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back Monday. It looks like we are having the Smash Bros now on Monday. Darren Till and Hamzat messes around. We'll get to the bottom of that. We'll talk to them. We'll reprimand them. We'll give them shit. We'll talk about it.
Send in your videos reprimanding the boys for making us wait for a week.
Yes.
Pod@gmail.com. Let them know how in trouble they are.
Oh, that's a good call. Send in the most abusive video for Darren Till and Hamza that we get sent. I will send some kind of merchandise. And that's a fact. I know I've let people down on this before. But this is this is BYM 2.0.
We sent out those gloves, Mike.
We sent out the gloves. Whoever sends in the most offensive video for Hamzat and Darren Till, I will send something, a t-shirt or something. But anyway, guys, I got to go. Much love. Bon voyage. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.